Let's raise your hands together and say, Dear Father, in the name of your Son Jesus, in this service, we receive revelation knowledge without hindrances or distraction. Together as a church, we behold Jesus Christ, your Son, even as he sees us in here. In this service, is glorified as we are built up by the power of the Holy Spirit, alongside those who hear us every day in the body of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Matthew 16, we're back on the keys of the kingdom. You know, I couldn't get to the very core issue last year, remember? Even though, you know, did our best. Matthew 16, and I trust God for something here, and for everyone who is here, for a personal revival, amen?
Amen.
So let your heart be in that direction. Sometimes last year, as we were praying and towards the world changes, we had the Lord tell us to caution believers not to drift away and allow their ministries to drift away. You know, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 says, therefore we ought to give the most earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we drift away. It's not difficult to drift away from something. As I was preparing for this meeting as well, something that I prayed about and I felt to share with us is familiarity. You know, sometimes when you have something too available, you may lose respect for it. And that happened to Israel. They had the covenant, they had God, who practically lived with them like a fellow citizen. You know, they'll backslide, he'll return to them, and that happened again and again. But the interesting part was when he became a man, in John 1:14, and it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. But before then, remember that John says he came to the world, even the world did not know him, but then he said he came to his own. His own received him. No, that's a big statement, right? He came to his own, and his own received him not. And it says, as many as received him, verse 12, to them he gave the power, or gave he the power to be called the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So, you could have that sense of familiarity. And they had that with Jesus. And he became a man, and he did nothing such that when they were going to crucify him, they had to lie. Now, this is not an anti-Semitic teaching, but it's just to point you to God's word about familiarity, because eventually the apostles were Jews, so it wasn't the case of the Jews rejected Jesus wholesale. But it's something about just being around something, and you can lose the importance of it. I'll give you some stories. Years ago, I had a friend, and Pastor Ola knows a friend well, because I've known her for 26 years now, right? And this year we're married 20 years, okay? So I've known her from a small girl to, you know. So I was also a small boy, I was like, at least somehow, right? She's trying to be so uptight spiritual here, so fine. So, you know, and he was a friend, and we related very well. But I noticed that he had such a very unique hand of God upon his life. One scenario I won't forget was in my secondary school then in Nigeria, well, the best in the world. That's not easy. It's like an utterance. You have to receive it by faith. So now we had a school, neighboring school, Queen's School. So someone had like a mental condition. And so they ran to my school to look for that man of God. He was in the junior school. And so he said he couldn't attend to them, that he was trying to do something in class. So he said, just bring a cloth. And then he prayed on the cloth, so go and show it to her. As soon as they got to the girl, she just became normal. And I had seen that kind of manifestation in his life. Now, that was before we became close. So we became close much later. And, you know, we used to just talk about around other things. But somehow I found out that people who were not close to him seemed to receive what he had. So like say in Nigeria, I gave myself brain. That means I came to my senses, okay? And I remember very vividly my first trance. I'd had some encounters and visions, but they were snippets. But my first trance was Grey Hall. And that evening, if I showed, I think I showed you that place, yeah. We're there. I showed him where I got born again, the very spot. Where I got filled with the Holy Ghost. So, and it was in the evening, young secondary school boys. Secondary school is what do you call that? Whatever, secondary school. So we're having a meeting. I just went in there. And we strolled to the meeting together. But somehow I just snapped out of, he's my friend. I just said, no, this is a prophet of God. No, that's what I said. So as I walked into the room, there was no light in there. So we prayed for a while. Then he just called me. I used to use one very thick glasses then. And so he just said, come. He didn't even appear like he was the same person we walked into the room to get to come. He took the glasses, said, you're healed. My friend. Then he laid hands on me and I was out. It was said between 6 to 7 hours I was in the trance. And that means, trance means I was seeing things for that long. And that was the guy that we walked into the meeting together. And we're friends. So, you know, so I know exactly what familiarity can look like. So Israel was so familiar with Jesus that Paul had to warn the Gentile nation. He said, look, by their unbelief, the gospel has come to you. Okay, between Romans 9 and 11. Then he said to them, you know, warn the Gentiles. He said, if the chosen nation can have this experience and be broken off then engrafted again, he said, you better be careful. So we mustn't get to the point where we think we are custodians of something, or we get to the point where we just don't really regard it. And it's a foolish man that loses something before he values it, whether it's relationship, whether it's access, whether resources, is a foolish person that has to lose something before he values it. So we must value Christian meetings, value the local assembly, and of course value one another. Is that clear? Yes, so I will be talking along these lanes again, just like I said, it was laid on my heart to share with us. And that could just not be about church. It could also be about people in your family. It could be a shame if someone is in your family and people outside your family seem to receive from that person. I remember this happened a couple of years ago. Somebody very close to us passed on. And in fact, I brought a very respected elder brother of mine, Reverend Tokes, were together in Tulsa just a few days ago. And he, to come and pray. I mean, we did a couple of things. And so there was someone else that reached out to me on Facebook. And that day was not even one of those good days. It was the Arsene Wenger days, towards the end, when the glory was departing. If you don't know what I'm talking about, don't pray about it. Just leave it. So it was one of those days where we played a game. I'm an Arsenal fan. I know you know. All demons know that one already. So, and it was not those days. I mean, I wasn't excited, and somebody just checked my Facebook, and someone said, oh, please, are you this or so person? I said, yeah. My cousin, I think that's the word, or my niece or something, asked me to reach out to you. Please, can I have your number? This is my number. She was ill, so she said, in case things go worse, call. I mentioned my name, check on his Facebook, and I dropped the number. I said, okay, no problem. And says she's been like that for a few days. So I picked the phone. I can't say I was reluctant, but I think I wasn't really exercising faith actively because I just had a bad game. I think we played against one of the funny clubs, and they drew or beat us or something. From that, those days are gone. We have passed the Ichabod to Chelsea, and it's going to be with them forever.
Amen.
So, thank you. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. What a way to receive from God. You know, I just took the phone. I said, okay, put the phone there. I just said, in Jesus' name, you are healed, you are well, come out of it in Jesus' name. Put the phone down and say, what's wrong with this coach? And that's what I said. And in a few minutes, she came out of it. And she was healed. So I now called her and talked to her. I said, how come the same scenario, and I couldn't do the same for someone close by? I said, what does the person call you? I said, said, how does the person see you? That's how to receive. He that receives a prophet in the name of a brother will receive a brother's reward. Is that correct? That receives a prophet in the name of a classmate, and that's not too good a reward, classmate's reward. That's not fine. It has to be in the name, which means that we all carry an identity that is much more weightier than our natural identity. The fellow Jew just saw Jesus as born of Mary. Mark 6 said, is it not Mary's son? We know his siblings here now. Was a big deal. And the Bible says he couldn't do any mighty work in their midst. Couldn't do any mighty work. Why? Because of familiarity. And I'm bringing this to America too, because I'm bothered about America. I'm not overtly bothered. I have my own in Nigeria. I'm your pastor, so I have to bother about what bothers you. And I'm saying this is where many of us took our inspiration for ministry and for prayer. I mean, I read a book by Brother Hagin, Kenneth E. Hagin, in my cousin's house. He's a pastor in Lagos too, Dario Noyinka is my elder cousin. And I remember that night I read two books together. Are you cool?
Yes, sir.
Are you okay?
Yes, sir.
This time I'm going to minister this time around, okay? So in case you brought your Greek Bible, I'm not open to it at all. So I Lord, do some teaching, Lord. So, I saw two books. I saw Alone with God by Francis Waluke, Bishop Waluke, who is the present PFN president in Nigeria, and I took the book, I read it, same night. And you know, we don't have the access we have today. I was just go and buy a book, Remember the first Amplified Bible I had access to? It was, like today, Katie from Kogi should be about 2 hours drive to just go and see an Amplified Bible. And so the guy said, I'm not going to release it. So I said, no problem. Let me just read some verses and cram it. That's how we studied. And just cram it. You know, I remember one of the books I read too. And the guy said, I can't even allow you to take it out of my house. So I said, no problem. So I went into the restroom and I finished the book. You know. And you know, that's the kind of foundation we were given. There has to be the hunger. So that night, I read that book, and I saw Art of Intercession by Brother Hagin, Kenneth Hagin, that's now Art of Prayer. So I took the two books that night, and I read the two, and I prayed. And my cousin was out that day. He was out, I think it was a Friday, he was out till Saturday evening, and I didn't sleep till he came back the evening of the next day. I just took time to pray. And that material came from this nation. Where, why would I pray that long? That meant that the book, or means that the book inspired me to do that. And so, you know, it was Kenneth Hagin that taught us to stay and pray for that long. Kenneth Hagin was, is, or should be an American. You know, any of the verbs you like is fine. So, you look at that, is there a familiarity thing? We've seen it before. We've heard it before. And Jesus had that challenge. If God can have a challenge with familiarity, such that, you remember Peter in Luke 5, Peter first saw Jesus and, depart from me, I'm a sinner. And he said, no, you're not worthy and all that. Just a couple of chapters after, he says to Jesus, what did you just say, Jesus? Stop that in Jesus' name. And, you know, what could have happened? Or should we save someone like Judas, who, you know, practically Jesus picked all of them together and then he followed Jesus and, you know, he gave them power, authority over unclean spirits. Then it got to a point, Judas became uncomfortable with how Jesus was being respected. A woman poured oil on him. And then Judas, now you have two accounts. You have the Mark's account, the Luke's account, and then John's account. But if you read it together, you notice something happened. It says all of them were incensed. Now why should she waste this? I know most of the time we get ourselves in trouble by what's not our business. Is it your oil? Is it your head? How is it your business that someone's oil was poured on another person's head? I'm not sure it splashed on any of them. But it just became unnecessarily, you know, bothered about something else. You know, and Judas was actually the one who got the others to think that way. So that's the power of influence. He just felt like, why should she waste all of that? And Jesus wasn't sounding like the seeker sensitive pastor that would say, guys, now try and understand. She's just a giver, you know. Try and understand. She's just a giver. She's just trying to be generous. And he didn't say anything like that. And that's how a good pastor should be. He rebuked them immediately and said, leave her alone. What is your business? That's the proper meaning of what he said. What is it with you? Leave her alone. I know those guys had become apostles in that sense, that they also had people who, you know, saw them as men of God. So at that point, they would have felt that why should he talk to me like that? Me too, I'm ministering the power of God. I can teach too now. I can preach. I have disciples. And then that was the same time Judas went to meet the Pharisees. So he moved from familiarity to dishonor, then bitterness. You know, just felt like I'm sure that if Jesus had said that, the first few days he met Judas, he wouldn't have felt anything. But with time, and you know, they had been with Jesus. That's a big statement. Mark 3:14 says he called them to be with him and preach the gospel. So if they were with him, and you know, when they were going to replace Judas, one of the qualities was when they were going to choose Matthias. He said, one who was with us all the time, which means that these guys were always with Jesus. You know, when you're always with someone, you will see some things others don't see. I don't believe Jesus farted. See how you raise your hand like a spiritual thing. I believe you will have snored at some point. You know? You just look at him and feel like, why do you say that particularly? I'm not sure why you raised your voice like that. Was that supposed to be a counter talking to me? The way you say yes, I suspect that response. You know, and you'll have seen those things. And I felt, hey, well, and now they also were walking in power, one way or the other. They came back in Luke 10:17, says, the demons are subject to us in your name. He says, behold, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you power, Luke 10:19, and authority over serpents and scorpions, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall be enemies hurt you. And for you to know that they were excited, which means that got to them, that they could also cast out demons. So now, Jesus gets to talk to him and say, keep quiet. Was that for me? No. And so he moved from that to bitterness, and then he went to the Pharisees. Now, you know, going to the Pharisees can't be a mistake. They were consistently Jesus' opponents. He went there, you know, they offered him money, give this man away, and all of that. So, that came into the picture. And you know, also, familiarity can make you forget. You know, you can forget. Sometimes when we are also judgmental, we forget who we are, that we are equally saved by grace. I'll get to that shortly. You can get very judgmental. So, look at Mary. Mary also, you know, virtuous Mary, she had Jesus, and Luke 1 from 31 to 36, 37, And the angel said to her, the seed shall be in you, shall be the child of the Holy Ghost. And said, well, how can these things be? The power of the Lord shall overshadow thee. And he said, oh, I said, be it unto me according to your word. And, you know, nothing, no word of God is void of power. Luke 1:37. And, you know, that happened. She went to the house of Elizabeth, her cousin, and, you know, they rejoiced, the mother of my Savior, you know, all that went on. But after that, she had Jesus, there was the angelic ministries and all that. But Jesus grew just like a normal child. Okay? Luke 2:40 says it grew, the child grew. That's practical. And the way it's written, you see it, the same thing in 1 Samuel. The way Samuel grew was the way Jesus grew. So, and if you have seen children grow, I'm not sure he started speaking in tongues from age one. I'm not sure he was led by the Spirit from the womb. I'm sure Jesus will have food. I'm sure he will have done some run around. Where Jesus? Where did you? Come on, Jesus, come back here in Jesus' name, you know. And stuff like that. Jesus, where have you gone? You know, you'll have cried at night and say, Jesus, why are you always disturbing me? You know, after a while, it won't be difficult for her to forget who he really is. You know, and he just grew, the child grew. Grew normally. And many people need to realize that Jesus is not coming to this world. Of course, he's God that became a man. He won't be completely man if he was just God. Okay? So he was a man who had to also grow. Luke 2:40, I said he grew in knowledge. He grew in wisdom. Luke 2:52, he grew in stature. So he grew normally. Which means he learned. So here's Jesus. He goes into the temple. One of those days they went on a journey. He branches into the temple. He sits with the doctors of the law. Luke 2:46, 47. Then he sits down and he begins to ask questions to show you he was actually growing. So Jesus didn't come, you know, blazing with scriptures. He learned it. Okay. So when you see people who are not sitting down to learn, it's not because they know, it's actually because they don't know. Jesus is God who sat down to learn. Ask me, who taught Jesus? The doctors of the law. Jesus was taught normally. They taught him scriptures normally. He studied scriptures normally. That's why in Luke 4:16 says he got to the temple, as synagogue, as his custom was, which means that he grew that way, going into the temple to study. So he sat down in Luke 2, and he begins to ask questions. Now, there are questions that are not to learn. People sometimes can ask foolish questions. And the Pharisees asked not just foolish questions, they asked questions to test him. Now, there are questions you ask to learn. One of the things I teach you, I said that exegesis is the ability to ask questions to learn. When you can ask the right questions. Okay? Some questions are meant to prove someone wrong. That's not the right question. So you just ask the kind of questions, which in the Greek actually means to make inquiries. You know? There are questions that are rhetorical. Are you now saying, you know, that's not a question? Then this one is a question to learn. So he asked questions, and then they were astonished, Luke 2:47, at his responses. There was a response he gave that showed that he was learning. Now, so that shows you that Jesus grew practically like you and I did. You know, and I've always said to you, the way you grow is what? Since when you come and say, the way you grow is what? The way you grow. Nothing changes. Nothing. And sometimes some people think that some of us pastors have a different routine. It's the same thing. The way you grow is the way you grow. So he began to ask questions. They responded. But somehow, he wasn't with his mom and his dad. And they were looking for him for over 3 days. And they came back and found him in the temple. And I noticed the way transitions are done. It might reduce the weight of what happened. And they said, where are you? Where have you been? You know, like, I'm not sure you look for your son and you just say, for 3 days, and you now say, oh, that's where you are. When I was in primary school, I decided to walk home. I don't know what the adventure was about, But I just left, and it was like a 3-hour walk. I was in primary three. Primary three, what do you call down here? Whatever. It's the one before junior high school, right? Uh-huh. So help me out. So I walked home, and you know, I just was feeling like a hero. I can do this myself. So by the time I got home, I was in like a two-story building, and I saw my parents looking at me like, who's here? So we were downstairs talking, where is the guy? And no phones, nothing. I was just walking like a hero. And my dad, first of all, welcomed me. He knelt down and he thanked God. That's the God part. So he did the man part. You know what I'm talking about. And I learned never to walk in the spirit like that again. So imagine if you are going to see Jesus and you are looking for him for 3 years and you say, oh Jesus, oh you are learning the word. People say, are you? They said that much. Because if you still recall that he's God, why are you thinking he's missing? She had practically forgotten. Okay? But Mary's unique because the Bible says that, well, Joseph was there. She kept the saints in her heart. He responded, why are you bothered? I'm about my father's business. The Greek word is my father's need. So he goes and he grows. But one thing is critical there. The Bible says he followed them and he was in subjection. So he's not like, he said, I'm about my father's business. You can go to hell. You know, you know, that would be very funny. So he follows them. But notice that somehow Mary, and that, I'm pretty sure that story was told by Mary because it's the, Luke obviously got a lot from Mary. That's the woman's account. She was more detailed. You know, how he was born, what happened, the manger, when they were looking for, you know, she was quite detailed. The how the angel came, how she went to, you know, that didn't come from a third party. You know, and she grew that way and gradually came back to realize that first encounter. You know, very easily we can lose the first encounter. Very, very easily. Look at the first time you got filled with the Holy Ghost and you spoke in tongues and you almost felt like, I mean, when I got born again a few days ago, and I remember I was leaving the hall and I really, you know, I felt like a new creature in my body. I really felt like all things have passed away and I kept looking around like, you know, a new creature. Or did someone upset me and I said I've lost my salvation. But, you know, that reverence looked like ignorance, but you have to keep it. You have to keep it. Reverence of going to church, you know, back then we'll run to the service. Now people just throw into the service and sometimes just throw in and out without even knowing who just throw in and out. When I got saved, when they start praying, they lock the doors. So we used to run to church. We run to the service. They would shut the doors. When they start praying, you stay outside for second service. You know, for if you now got leave for second service, well, the third one is actually no pastor. So you stay outside and enjoy the third service. No one's going to preach. Just you latecomers should be doing that. Oh, you didn't get what I was saying. All right. You have to pray with the Pauline prayers for you. So, you know, it was easy. After a while, there was another time she brought the brothers and said, we want to see Jesus. You know, and she said, call Jesus for me. You know, imagine you are preaching and someone sends a note and says, Pastor, mommy. Say, he says, she has to see you outside. She's really. He says, who is my brother, mother, and sister, those ones who are here? Again, Mary kept the things in her heart. Such that, you know, his brothers, first of all, mocked him and said, who will believe you? But after a while, which means it's better to switch. They switched from not knowing to knowing. Now, it's worse to switch from knowing to stupidity. I would say you don't know. Okay? But Mary kept the saints in her heart. Now, you don't have to criticize Mary. It's not so easy to keep the same attitude. You got to work at it. To keep that same attitude. Because as human beings, naturally, we get bored. Am I right? We're doing the same thing again and again. Okay, so now let's get back to that. So this same Mary, right, upon the resurrection, this is the most startling one. Upon the resurrection, Acts 1:14-15, she's actually part of his disciples. And she didn't ask for the pulpit. Right? She didn't. So we can get that familiar. And I'm not just talking about persons, with the things of God. I spoke about the first time you spoke in tongues, and you know, I was talking in church on last week, and I recall that I checked an email of one of our pastors now, the first email he sent to me like 20 years ago, and I said, "Do you want me to share with the world what you said then?" you know what I mean. Tried to ask a question about the gifts of the Spirit, speaking in tongues, and the comment was so funny that I said, "Well, now you've grown, but you must have the same attitude, because you don't outgrow reverence. You must revere the things of God." Now let's get back to another story. I hope you're learning something from this. And this is also a caution for those of us who are serving in church. After a while, you are now part of the decision-making process. You are now an usher. You are part of the HOD. So you now are there where decisions are made. It's also likely, you say, "Well, it's no big deal. There's just something about being around something long enough." So here's Miriam. If anyone should know who Moses was, Miriam should. Right? She was the one who, when called the mom, hid him. And in the Exodus 15, she was the one who broke out in singing. She's like, "Oh God." She's excited about what had happened. But years had passed, and things had happened. She had had experiences. That's why you have to be careful of not letting things happen around you get to your heart. After a while, Miriam, she had seen Israel rebel over and over again. Almost like it was their default mode to keep rebelling, to keep saying, "What's the big deal?" Murmured against the Lord. They were doing that consistently, from Exodus to Leviticus. Then when we got to Numbers, strangely, she just said, and it's interesting the way it's written, it's just before the Kadesh Barnea experience in Numbers 13:14, she just said, "Why did Moses go to marry an Ethiopian?" If she stopped there, how are you? It's been a while. If she had stopped there, like, "Look cool." Like, okay, she's probably just asking a question. She now went further to say, "Is he the only one God talks to?" That's the real issue. Okay? So, and so God's so interesting in that story. I keep reading it, Numbers 12, and I wondered, Numbers 11 had happened, where Moses himself had said to the Lord, "Hey, I can't bear the burden of these people alone." He said, "No problem. You go look for 70 elders. I'm going to put my spirit upon them. I'm going to take it from you." Okay? And Miriam was aware. Aaron was aware of that story. "Put it from you and put it on the 70. So the next chapter was where they now questioned Moses. And the thing about God, I'm going to have some time to teach a bit of this tomorrow. Praise God. But I'll do my best to start tonight. But the thing about God is, his method remains man. And his greatest challenge is also man. How about that? In leadership, if you lead any church or ministry, your greatest assets will be men, and they will be your greatest liabilities too. So, just like God. So, and they, She just got Aaron involved. And you look at the construction in the Hebrew, it was obvious that Aaron didn't say much. You know? And she just said, what's the big deal? And God just appeared to them and said, hey, come out, both of you, come out. You know, when God says come out, I know you're in trouble. Come out. Come out. Stand there. Very good. He said, Moses, come. Now, hey, say, which of you do I talk to face? You know, and if God is the one talking, you know, there's no one you're supposed to refer to. And then that's how she was leprous. And that seems to be the end of our ministry. Saved? No doubt. What was the problem? Why did she suddenly see Moses that way? Notice that before then, Israel has consistently been doing that. Moses, take us back. There was even a point where they wanted to stone him. So, if you are not careful, things going on around you can get to your heart. You see on social media, people don't have limits and control of what they comment on what they can say. And so you see those things come to your heart. And after a while, you know, it will first be like, you'll be shocked initially. What's this? This is not right. This is not right. But you know something? Suddenly it's getting to your heart too. If you don't consciously war against it, you are going to act like that. Years ago, I'm not someone giving, I don't read scandals, I don't have time, I don't read stuff, I don't read anything. When I see it, somehow, unusually, I just saw an article about Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin is someone that I hold in high esteem. I just started reading it. For whatever reasons, I just started reading it. And foolishly, you know, if you're looking for any information, you'll get it. There are things written about Jesus that even could tell you he never existed. So everybody has an opinion. Okay? So I began to read it, and suddenly I said, what's this? Why would this guy say that? I just said, what? Ah, what kind of nonsense is this? So I closed the page. But a human mind can be very, very curious. So I said, what exactly are they even saying? So I read further. Then suddenly, the voice that led me for so many years, I started to now second guess. You know? So, somehow, those things happening around Miriam and Aaron got to them. It first appeared that it was the people just rebelling against Moses, the murmured, and all that. But after a while, you know, it got to their hearts. And they acted on it. Now, let me tell you the one that is most shocking is that the same thing happened to Moses. So when things are going on around you, Paul says to us, be strong in the Lord. Ephesians 6:10, the power of his might. He says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So take on the whole armor of God, that you're able to withstand the enemy, the devil, in the evil day. Having done all to stand, he says, stand therefore. And all the phrases there are present tense continuous. You have to keep doing it. Which is put on the old armor of God. The Greek says, keep putting on the old armor of God. Take on the shield of faith, where you're able to quench the fiery darts of the enemy. Ephesians 6:17. So you keep it, you cannot be, the Christian walk is one that you have to be cautious all the time. Ephesians 5:16. Paul says, you mustn't be unwise and foolish, knowing what the will of the Lord is. He said, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Which means that you have to keeping on. The same Moses, now God, listen carefully now, rebuked by God for the same things Israel did. And repeatedly, Deuteronomy repeated it that Moses got angry and he said what he shouldn't have said. While Sammy said he spoke unadvisedly, he spoke rashly. Are you here? He just became careless. And careless. Now, he never lost his salvation. But something went wrong in his ministry. That's what happened to him. She can still be so familiar. Because he spoke to the rock. God says, now you're going to speak to the rock. He struck the rock twice. And he spoke to the people and said, why did you have to talk like that? And so we mustn't get to the point where the things of God don't have honor in our eyes anymore. Are you here? You have to watch it. And you know, God always walks with men. Always. Genesis 1:26, let's make man in our image after our likeness. So man is God's image. Image there in the Hebrew means your representation. And if I have the time tonight, I'll start or no, tomorrow we'll do quite some study. I'm going to start earlier. Okay? So you discover the same man. It's God's method. And the man that is God's method can be your cousin, can be your husband, your wife, your colleague at work. Are you here? Can be your sibling. Alright? Can be the person sitting next to you. Right now. So, there's some very simple spiritual principles. They are too simple. Spiritual principles. So I said, don't get so familiar with prayer. So you just walk into the prayer meeting, one of these is just casually maybe checking your phone. You're checking your phone. You're checking your phone. Every 30 minutes, checking your phone. In prayer meeting, checking your phone. Checking your phone. You know. Some people can call people. Oh boy, I'm praying. I'll call you back. What's wrong with you? And prayer is audience with God, right? Now, how would you feel if someone's talking to you? Then, talking to you, then, hey, hold on. I'm talking to you, man. I'll get back to you. Hold on. And that's God. Oh, hold on. So, he reverence. You're having your morning devotion? Ahead and check your Bible alone and study alone. You know? You are checking your Facebook as you are reading your Bible. Wow, glory. Irreverence. Familiarity comes with irreverence. You won't see it the way you should see it anymore. Comes with irreverence. Are you with me? Irreverence. So we mustn't get that familiar. Don't get familiar with worship. People are singing, blessing the Lord. And they say, raise your hands. And you sit down. Why did you sit down? Well, you heard it. Stand to your feet. That's what was said. Stand to your feet. Why should you tell me to stand to my feet? It's part of worship. When you stand praying. Amen. You get it? So, raise your hands. So let's lift our hands. We lift our hands. We lift our hands. You don't even know where to lie. So, you know, we must keep our reverence for the things of God red hot. Are you with me? Red hot. Or else, what should have taken you one session could take you 3 years. Irreverence makes you travel far for what was always around you. What was always around you. Some 20 years ago, when did we have that meeting at Adrikiti? I don't want to talk about that. I left you there. Was it 2001? Yeah. 2000. Okay, 2000, something like that. That's 24 years ago. She was in the meeting. Remember the meeting? Where that night when, okay, you know the night I'm talking about. And the Lord showed me there was a brother that would come into the meeting. The brother would come in, and I saw his cloak, what he was going to wear. And he was going to come in. He came in as I was preaching. He sat one spot. Just to my right. And he'll be saying, glory. I saw it in the vision. I said, glory. Oh, come on. Here's, you know. And the Lord said, what was it going to do? Now the Lord told me what to say to him, that he had been looking for an answer. But he was going to get up just about the time I was going to give him the answer. So he got up. That was in the vision. And I felt like, what? So that day I told the pastor, who is a brother to another friend of ours, and I said to him, the Lord showed me something about a guy that he was going to come into the meeting. And I was supposed to minister to him, but he will leave. And as I began to preach, it was a Saturday evening, I think, as I began to preach, he came in. You know, and he sang, he worshiped, you know. And just about the time I said, let's just get up, he just walked out. Just like the vision. Until now, I've not repeated what the Lord said to tell him. Now, why did God show me that? Because he wanted me to always caution believers how they treat meetings. This was 24 years ago. You just walk out. And, you know, sometimes we just walk in the flesh about some of those things. Reverence for the things of God. Reverence for that prayer life. That prayer time you had this morning could just have been that time. You prayed, you know. I heard the song leader say, Pastor Lola said, it's a time of encounter. And, you know, the answer to that prayer could be in your devotion tomorrow morning. You get it? And you decided to play with that devotion. Are you with me? You know, we just get irreverent. And I'm saying it particularly for some of us who, you know, never used to be like that. Never used to be like that. If you go with me to a meeting, we won't have a single chat. I won't talk with you. I won't. I have been in the ministry a few days enough to act like a man of God and cross my legs and say, come on, say it. Yeah. But you miss God. I was in his church. Was it 2021 or so? 2020. And I had this very serious back pain. It was horrible. I'd been there for weeks. And was it 2020. It was COVID period. What kind of memory do you have? Can't use COVID to remember. COVID, I banned the devil. So I got, I used my faith, believed God. The thing was there. And you know, the thing about a pastor is that in the midst of it, you lay hands on people, you get healed. Allahu Akbar. You know, it's so funny. You know, and that shows you something. That you don't minister healing because you are healed. Do you get it? Because someone's bones, who was dead, you get it in scripture, a man who couldn't see by the name of Jacob had a vision. I walked into a man's office in 98, I think. Prophet Tiro Badare is one of the leaders of CAC Church. And so I was supposed to work with their ministry, so I went in, and so he asked me to write down something in his office. So I picked the pen and said, that's not the one. That one is not working. Eh? And the man is not supposed to see. So I just became very gentle. You know, what was I talking about? I was talking about something before I got here. So I came to his church. So I was to minister to the sick that night. And I'm the one ministering to the sick, but the man ministering to the sick had some pains in his back. Was so hurting that sometimes I'm preaching, I feel like sitting down. I feel like really sitting down. So sometimes, you know, as a preacher, I use some tricks like, you know, it's good to be sitting. People know that's what you're doing. One time, I went to one country like that, and I didn't know, you know, I'm used to taking off my suit when I'm preaching. But I didn't know it was very cold. So I just took off my jacket. Hey? So I said, excuse me. I actually thought it was the Holy Ghost. So I said, try look for one scripture. What scripture can I use? I said, look at Luke 24. Look at Luke 24. The word there is enduo. Enduo means to put it on. Bring back my jacket. You have me very wise, so. So, you know, I was so hurting, but. So I asked Brother Josh, right, Pastor Josh now. So he's leading the songs. So I said, sing about healing. He thought I was talking about the people in the congregation. It was for me. As he began to sing, I said, Lord, I receive from His ministry. In the name of Jesus. I receive power in my body. Now, as I was saying that, people came out to be laid, to have hands laid on them. So I laid hands on all of them. And he got healed. Well, I still had the pain. But I said, in the name of Jesus, this night, from the ministry of Brother Josh, I didn't even know his name, I have received healing in my body. Oh, in the name of Jesus. I walk in it. I walk in it. I walk in it. So I got back to the hotel. Still felt the pain. So I slept, just lay down. And in a few minutes, it was gone. It's been there for about 2 months. And the praise worship leader was the one God was going to use. If I said, sing for me, man of God, your back will sink a penny. And we get worse. Right? So don't get familiar with the things of God. Don't get familiar with the teaching of the word. The way you grow is the way you grow. In Luke 11, 25 and 26, Jesus said, Matthew 11, 25, 26, and Luke 10, 22 and 23, Jesus said, it's pleased God to hide His wisdom from the wise and the prudent, and He revealed them to babes. Let me give you an illustration. Pastor, please come. Come here, brother. Come. Thank you. You know, and let's assume, for the sake of this illustration, this is the wise and prudent. Alright? And this is, like that part, right? This is the babe. Now, the babe, there's an attitude. Now, imagine, now you do like this. This is the wise and prudent. It means, I know. What do they want to tell me? Right? So, you do like this. This is the child. Now, God hides His wisdom from the wise and the prudent. Wise and prudent. And He reveals Himself. Give me a hug. Let's go. To the baby. Thank you. Oh, okay, okay. So, sometimes the wise repent. So, that cocky attitude. Cocky. Well, they want to tell me, I don't know. And you know, Google has got many of us into trouble. We no longer get led by the Spirit of God. You want to find out something? Shh, Google. You have a pain in your body? You Google it. What about I'm healed in Jesus' name? Google it. Pain in the right part of the right. It happened to me yesterday. So let me confess my sins. So I was in the plane and I had this, my hair was really paining me. And I felt like, I've never checked this thing before. Let me check it. What could be the problem? And I found there was no problem. So I said, oh. So it's not a problem, it's just the way, you know, the altitude and all that. I felt, eh. So I said, why did I even check it? What if you told me, it means you are going to be deaf? You know, it's so funny. Then I started thinking about it. It's just, your chest is feeling, you say, when there's just 6 likely heart disease, terminal disease. You see, no, it's not wrong to check, but sometimes you are not even led by the Spirit anymore. What about praying in the Holy Ghost? What about just spending some time to meditate on the word? Joshua 1:8, this book of the law, it didn't say this Google. Shout it back from your mouth. He said, you meditate day and night and observe to do all that's in there, and then you make your way successful and have good, make your way prosperous and have good success. Psalm 1 verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh in the counsel of the godly, stand in the way of sinners, sit in the seat of his comfort. For his delight is the law of the Lord, Psalm 1 verse 2, in this law doth he meditate day and night. It shall be like a tree planted at streams of water. It shall bring forth fruit in its season. His leaves shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. What about spending more time in the Word? Spending more time in the Word. More time in the Word. There was a 32 years ago, later this year, I was diagnosed of a kidney failure. And the man, interestingly, who did the diagnosis, my father's a good friend, is late now, Dr. Leo Yayo. He used to be the group medical director of Mercy Clinics, Abeokuta, Nigeria. So he told my mom and dad, he said, well, this thing is not curable, this and this and this and this and this and this and all that. Then, I wasn't really a serious Christian. I was a Christian, but not serious. I was similar to, you know, what we used to call back then as BOL, believer on leave. That the only evidence you are born again is the fact that you have the Holy Ghost. Any other thing? No evidence. You go, explain tire. No evidence. No evidence at all. No, I wasn't living in sin or anything, but I wasn't just giving to the things of God. I was just indifferent. I was just, hot and cold today, you know. But when the sickness struck, and they told me, hey, it's going to be... So the man tried to be fine. He said, it's 50-50% though, and all that. I just remembered I'd heard one song. I didn't know the verse. I am the Lord that he let thee. The interesting part is that, you know, I didn't know where the verse was. I didn't know whether it was even in the Bible. I said, oh, you are the Lord that healed me. I didn't want to die. So, I held on to the Word. I was giving some drugs early in the morning, everything was so bitter. Early in the morning, they say, every 2 hours. Ah! At a certain point, I said, I have to be tired of this. You know, what is this? And I got a hold on the Word. Eventually. Much later that year, started the work of the ministry. So about, how many years after? About 11 years or 10 years after. About that. I just had some symptoms, went to the doctor, you should. And then, they said, well, another case entirely. The doctor said, we have to manage this for the rest of your life. I just, somehow, because there's been a gap, I just said, between that time when I didn't know the scripture. So I told the man, I said, I'll be fine. Dr. Ajayi is the name. He said, I'll be good. The man said, you don't know what I'm saying, young man. I said, no, you don't know what I'm saying. I've been healed before. I said, I'll be back in 2 weeks. I didn't get back in 2 weeks. I just decided to stay on the Word for a while. Just went back to those basic things. The basic things. The basic things are the major things in Christianity. Wake up and pray. Put the Word of God first place. Basic things. Meditate upon the Word of God. Speak the Word of God. Hear it often. I just stayed on it. You know, sometimes I'll just take a stroll. I remember Reverend Tokes. I keep talking about him because he's arguably the closest. I mean, he's the person I've known the longest in the ministry. You know, one time like that, he told me that he was battling with something in his body. So we'll take a stroll. Then in his house, Imo Road. Was he in UI then, who strolled down to the gate. And he had this book by Charles Capps, Faith Confession, Light Works. So he would be telling me everything in the book over and over again. I said, Brotus, why are you doing this for me? He said, just be listening. Just be listening. Why does faith confession work? Number one. Number two. He was just feeding upon it. Then he was saying it for me to hear. Then he was hearing himself. He said, this is going on in my body. Then after like a month, he said, you know what? It's gone. You know, so I just was feeling on the Word, take a stroll, you know, and just trying to exercise my faith more. For a while, I didn't go back in 2 weeks. I think I went back 6 weeks after. So they ran the checks. The man said they should stay. I should stay. They said the lab. I just waited. I was so confident it was gone. Man came back and said, it was a misdiagnosis. No, I got healed. Don't tell me it's a misdiagnosis. Don't say that. I got healed. I know what healing is. Praise God. So, you know, the basic things in Christianity are the major things. Basic things. No matter where you get to, no matter who you are, the basic things, get up in the morning and pray. It's arrogance to step out of your bed, face the day, and you're not talking to God. Arrogance. Who do you think you are? You know, if there's anything, we check the weather report. We check every weather report with God's word. You even check yourself in the mirror. Not the mirror of the word. So the basic things in God's word, you don't outgrow it. You don't outgrow it. Stay with the basics. Talk to someone, say, stay with the basics. Say it again, say, stay with the basics. The basic things. The basic things. You know, there's some people, they'll be arguing theology on Twitter, but they don't actually pray. They don't feed on the word. When life's crisis comes, they won't refer to those things they're arguing about. They refer to something very carnal. The basic things. The basic things. Meditate upon the word of God daily. Revive those activities. Give them reverence. You know, what do you do when you come to church? Do you still pray? You know, I used to, before I preach, I started preaching, I can't remember, I mean, years back. But when I started holding meetings, my first meeting was December 1992, Believers World Convention. And I recall that I did a fast 14 days before, did a fast during the convention, and 14 days after. So that was a basic thing. I'm going to church, I'll fast. I want to go and hear the word, I'll fast. If I go to church, then you have CDs. Then you practically go and book for the tape. And then you queue to get the tape. And sometimes you borrow money to get the tape. You know, I remember then I would go and work to make some money and go and register to get a book that is yet to be released. You know, I didn't have money to buy shoes, nothing like that. Nothing like that. They didn't even save for things like that. Just to get materials. Books, tapes. You know, so those basic things. So I'll fast. You know, after a while in ministry, I stopped that practice. And I told myself, that's pride. So I went back to it. When you are preaching, just like those days, you wait on the Lord. You wait on the Lord. You simple things. Don't get to the point where something becomes too familiar with you, or the other way around. Hallelujah. Hope you are learning something tonight. Truth of the matter is, I have something I wanted to teach, but we just go in this direction. Praise God. You know, because I strongly believe that many of us here need to do a check somewhere. Some things you have left behind. Not the team like you want, but you have left them behind. Some simple things. Things like, you know, when you in the week, you just say, have I talked to anyone about Jesus this week? Simple things like that. That you didn't have any problem with being shamed for belonging to the Lord. It wasn't a big deal that they would, you know, they would accuse you, they would shame you. It's no big deal. You know, things like prayer. I told one colleague of mine, classmate of mine, I said, do you remember this? And I started crying. I said, you know, we had this prayer chain in secondary school. We said that we're going to pray for 24 hours for 1 month. So we picked ourselves. So we'll do for 4 hours. Secondary school. That's high school, right? So we said, we had the team. You have a team. So for 4 hours. So in a day, at least you pray 8 hours. So we'll just do that in secondary school. I said, and look at us today. We're not failures in life. You know, we shouldn't drop those habits. Those simple things. Wake up and pray. Study God's word. When you are in church, take notes. Take notes. You don't take the notes. You know, interestingly, one day like that, in Yaba church, I saw some people forgot their notes in church. So why did you take the notes? You now forgot it. Why did you forget it? You know, you take the notes. Not so that you just be writing like you are a stenographer. No, so that you can go back and listen to it. I mean, read it again. And again and again. So I was saying, oh, don't worry, I'll get it on the internet. What? See, there's something about your attitude. Your attitude. That's why we have to be careful of things that are just easy. Anyone who tells you that Christianity is easy has lied to you. Let me say it the way I normally say it. Now, some people give us the alternatives. You don't have to pray like this. You don't have to do this one. You don't have to be in church and they'll teach you for 1 hour, 2 hours. That's not necessary. You know, you don't have to join a department in church as long as you have a relationship with God. You know, you don't have to. It's not in the word though. It's just an option. Now the truth of the matter is this. Anyone who gives you that alternative doesn't want you to get rewards. That's the truth. I told someone, a member of church, I said, I'm feeling the activities are too many. See, there are too many. I said, come, let me show you something. These activities, are they in the word? Yes. How do you read these activities in the four Gospels and the book of Acts? Were they intense? Yes. Did they have church every day? Yes. Did they study the word of God for hours? Yes. Did they pray for hours? Yes. So, you want to make me feel guilty that I asked you to act on God's word? You are the one that will feel guilty. It's not righteousness that feels guilty. It's unrighteousness that should feel bad. You start feeling bad. I won't feel bad. You will feel bad. You are the one not acting on God's word. Are you here? Those basic things. As a Christian, those basic things. Don't get over familiar. You know, I said something about being familiar. You now get into bitterness. It will suddenly just come. And, you know, then you have dishonor for the things of God. You come into the service, you pray in pocket. You just put your hands in your pocket. And just, is there a big deal? I'm just, no, I mean, it doesn't mean anything. I'm just praying. You know, you used to do that. What changed? That's not spiritual growth. When it comes, one of the marks of spiritual growth is that you remain a child the way you receive. You remain a child the way you receive is the mark of spiritual growth. You remain a child. So, we watch that. Amen. Yeah. And I see something with this. If we fix this attitude, there is, and I listen to the songs you sang, you know, there is a wind of revival that will blow. If we just fix that attitude, you know, that attitude around us, you know, to just have this more reverential attitude to the things of God, generally. If somebody begins to share God's word, even in your office space, the person is not a member of your church, right? You know, because that's not the only person, I mean, it's not your church alone that you can preach God's word. Is that very clear? You know, your attitude should just be like, just hold on, let me just get my Bible. You know, and you're listening, you're taking notes, you know, and you're praying. I mean, you're praying in your office space. I never pray, and you're just, close your eyes. It's not because the Bible says close your eyes, just go to close your eyes. Close your eyes. Be reverential. Let those things be part and parcel of you. All the time. All the time. And we'll just see revival spark as we fix this attitude. You know, sometimes we pray and then we act otherwise. It's like plus 10 minus 20. You pray, then you act otherwise. We're praying for, it's like somebody praying for people to be born again. Okay? And then the same people you are praying for to be saved, you're not getting into arguments, you walk in the flesh, or you live a life that is totally immoral before them. You just did injustice to your prayer. Because you pray and you act. You pray for people. That's why Peter says that if you are married to an unsaved man, he says if they cannot be won by the word, they can be won by your conversation, your behavior. 1 Peter 3:1-2. you can be won over by what you do. By what you do. I've seen people who told me that I answered the call of God on my life because I was just close to you. That I was just around you. In fact, someone that it's a senior partner in the business world. He used to tell me, Ashego, you know, I'm not called Misha, I'm not called. Now he's a pastor, he has pastored two churches. He said, when I asked him, I said, you finally pastored. I told you. He said, you see not people like you. You know, and that's not the only person. Just being around you. Just being around you. You prayed for someone and all that. Then the next thing, you prayed for someone to be spiritually strong and all that. You're the same person that you have become a PhD holder in Netflix. With the same person. Do you understand? You didn't just see what you prayed about. Amen. Let's have that attitude to the things of God. To the things of God. To the things of God. Go for prayer meetings. Is that clear? Don't pray on WhatsApp. You'll just be getting online power. Go to the prayer meeting. Right? Go there. Go and pray. You see, getting up from the house to go to church is part of your worship of God. It's part of that worship of God. The word did not become a tweet. It became flesh. Amen. Come there. Sit down. It is inconvenient. Exactly. That's worship. That's a sacrifice. Exactly. It's inconvenient. You know, and all that. You know, for example, me. I know Pastor Lau found out what I'm about to say. Early in the morning is when I sleep. That's 6, 7, 8 is when I sleep. You see, that midnight then is like as clear as the day to me. Now, that early in the morning is when I preach. So there's no time I'm preaching early in the morning that I don't feel like sleeping. And I do 3 sessions. Do you understand? It's inconvenient. Exactly. That is why it's called service. It has to be inconvenient. The way you give. The example Paul gave in 2 Corinthians 8. The church in Macedonia. He said they had financial crisis. But they gave the most. Jesus spoke about the widow. Who was being oppressed though. Because the widows are not supposed to give under the law. And she's giving. The rich people came and gave. He said she gave more than they all. Because she cast all her living. Do you understand? Those are the examples of Christianity. So, go to the prayer meeting. If they say they are going for evangelism, they want to go and check on new disciples. That's Christianity. Go. Go. I got born again around 10:30 in the morning. By 4 p.m. the next, that same day, I preached the gospel for the first time. It was part and parcel of it. So we are come. Yeah, go. New convert. Let's go. That you got saved to save others. Basic. Anybody who tells you otherwise wants you to lose your reward. I'm saying that again. Anyone who tells you otherwise wants you to lose your reward. And you won't lose your reward in Jesus' name. So you must, and that amen has to be louder in your conduct. Is that clear? In your conduct. It can be something that is possible, that is convenient. I wrap up soon. But tomorrow morning we'll do some good teaching, okay? I just felt led to talk in this direction. I hope it's blessing you.
Yes,
well, I'm your pastor, so I talk to you as a pastor. Is that clear? There are many teachings on Living Word Media. They are there. Amen. This one is what I'm led to tell you. You know, I went for this Bible school. Of course, God gives me the door to teach in Bible school. So when is this Bible school? As I was teaching. So the man who hosted the Bible school, his church, now came to me and said something. Say, what you taught now is the word of God who said, but I cannot do it. So people are very bold. He said, I can't do it. I'm talking about the man, I don't want to give too much information about him. Say, I can't do it. There was another senior friend there, that one was laughing. I said, what do you mean? He said, what you thought is the word of God. I was talking about all this very funny giving, prophetic seed, all these things people say to make you give. I said, look, a pastor should be honest. Men are begging, we need money. Do you understand? We need money to do this. Don't say, oh, I sense that there's a breakthrough. Just tell us we need money to pay rent. Don't lie. The breakthrough is that we need money to pay rent. Brethren, let us give. Don't say, I just sense that the miracle hour is happening. If you can sow that seed, you become a pig. If you can sow that. And then I said, don't do that. Just explain. We need money. Jesus said, look, people are hungry. Let's get them. He was very clear about what they wanted. So I thought and thought for hours. The man said, I can't do it. He said, So I said, why? He said, because people will not give. I said, but sir, take time and teach. He said, Pastor Chris, I don't have that kind of time. He now said that. Wait for this. You don't even hear the worst part. He now said that. And he's staying in the West. And when you say West, we from Africa, we call you West. So I don't want to give too much information. I'm trying not to. So the man said that one time like that, they had a serious financial problem in church. That he asked me to give. Maybe they needed, if I mention the denomination, I mean the currency, you know. They needed XX or whatever. So he said, maybe they needed 200. He now got one. He said, I just went to get false prophet. He said it. No. It's not that he hid it. He didn't say prophet. He said false prophet. So because I know that with those ones, they will give. He said, Pastor Chris, one service. Everything will change. Extra. He said, because if we don't do it, they'll check out, they'll tell us to exit the property. And that won't be nice. I said, no, sir. You just brought shame on the name of the Lord. I said, the glory of God will have been that you guys were sent out of that property without defiling the gospel. And wherever you, even if you met under the tree, it glorified God more than the nonsense you just did. The man just looked at her and said, maybe he doesn't even believe God exists. He may not believe. Maybe you know God exists. Why would you do that kind of thing? Do you understand? So, that's the thing about it. You don't say, it's not convenient. Many times, it's in that inconvenience that we serve God. That inconvenience. Paul was stoned at Lystra. Stoned, taken for dead. You know, to take someone for dead, it's not that they just slapped him. They must have checked him. To take someone for dead in those days, it's not that he just fell down. They stoned him. And they must have checked his body. The guy is gone. And as soon as he just, you know, Paul, he looked around, and he saw that the people around him were breathing, speaking in tongues. He said, I'm alive. So they went. You know, he didn't say, you know, guys, I kind of need some break. You know, I've tried. You know, I've suffered for the gospel. Just give me like, Pastor, give me like 6 months. You know what I faced. You know what I faced. It's for the same gospel. You know what I faced. You understand? And the pastor too will not look wicked. She just say, I'm facing you too, so I know what you're facing. Paul just, and they went to another city. So, he told them in Galatians 4, he said, you know, when I came with bodily ailment to preach the gospel to you. If there's a Christianity you are offered outside that, it's a lie. The Savior we exalt today saved us in the sufferings. Do you know why he's our Lord? It's because he suffered. He's not our Lord because he healed the sick. He's our Lord because he suffered. So, what's the brand of Christianity that you are offered? You know, there are many versions, different versions. You know, the nearly true versions, totally false version, looking like it is true version. Somebody's dream version. There are different versions. But stay with God's word. Stay with God's word. And that aspect of being comfortable that is being offered to you, walk away from it. Do the word of God and damn the consequences. Did you hear me? Do the word of God and damn the consequences. You know, some years ago, 33 years this year, I was in my grand aunt's house, college Christian, Ososami, Ibadan. Okeado, Nigeria. And I lifted my two hands. I said, Lord, no matter who is not following you or who follows you, count on me, I'll follow you. I said, it doesn't matter to me what happens to my friends, what they don't do or what they do. I'm going to make a vow today that I'm going to serve you for the rest of my life. There will be no day, no moment, no hour where I will not be found serving you. Now, that wasn't an easy commitment because you have to renew it all the time. But it comes with a cost. A real cost. Sometimes at your serious inconvenience, that is Christianity. And you must revere it. You know what? And you know, when those things happen, we are glad. In Acts 5, they whipped them, they flogged them. You know how we used to flog adults? Now, I've been flogged as a younger boy. And I know in your own, in this part of the world, it looks like they call it abuse. Story. Abuse. So I say, you know, they say, the dad used to abuse him. That's in Nigeria. I said, what do you mean abuse how? Like, he said, abuse. I said, ha, bangere, flogging. Go and sit down. How is that abuse? So, I mean, imagine now lining up adults for the sake of Jesus. I'm going to win. And you know, their own cane is not slippers or maybe newspapers. It's real whips. And the Bible says they were rejoicing. They found something. True Christianity. They were rejoicing. In the university, I start to close here. In the university, one day like that, where going for a prayer meeting. We used to call the place Zion. And I was, so about myself, Pastor Tayo, what's his name again? Call him Father Nash, what's his name? Pastor Tayo, Oladipo, yeah, pastors in Lagos. So he was the head of the prayer group. So I was a member. So we're going to pray. So just saw that it was about to rain. And I just said, guys, let's postpone the prayer meetings. You can see it's raining. You know, you can see it's raining. So, yeah. So, as we made to leave, they wheeled somebody there who was going to pray all night. If that doesn't challenge
you as a Christian, you are not born again. Good examples challenge us.
I can't forget what I saw. The guy stayed there and he continued praying. We had our 2 feet walking. There's nothing wrong with it. Nothing. We could walk and run with it. We walked away. Waiting for the convenient time. That is the encounter you were praying about. Encounters will happen at such moments. Yeah, they will. The greatest move of God in the earth came because of sacrifice. Somebody died for your sins. He was lied against. Shamed. The greatest move, creation took place. And saved us forever. That is the pattern of Christianity. America. Canada. Nigeria. Africa. If you are going to see the move of God, it starts with men and women who laid down everything. Say, come rain, come shine. Come good days and bad days. I will do all. I revere the things of God. I will honor church and the things there. I will honor believers in my office space. Even if the person doesn't belong to the church, but is a believer in Christ, I will treat him that way. I would do the word of God even when it's not convenient. I'll live for the word. I'll live for the word. God, yes. I heard the last song, the song before, the sister said that this is about consecration. When she was going to sing the song Stand, and it just touched my heart more than just a feeling that yes, something about this meeting is also consecration. Some of us are backsliding. Backsliding. I mean backsliding. You now have
terrible habits. What you used to call sin, you've modified it. You've modified it and say, I'm having an issue in this area. No, we're moving. You see, but what's the mark? A trespass. Unrighteousness. That's what it is. You will never get comfortable with sin because you are born of God. Yeah. We'll get back to those easy things. After this session, what did you used to do back then? After this session, what did you used to do back in those days? I'm sure you read the notes. Praise God. I'm sure you pray. I'm sure you used to do personal vigils, right? I'm sure you share with your friend. What's the Lord leading on your heart to do? Pick up those things again. And those who have drifted are restored. Yeah. And I dare say you won't need meetings every year to get you restored. You're stable and strong by the power of the Holy Spirit. You're planted and you're firm. And you will live the Christian life. You will live the Christian life. You will burn with fire. By the power of the Holy Ghost. But watch things around you. Ensure they don't get into you. Watch it. Check it. It doesn't get into your heart. Into your heart. Get back to that fervent prayer life. Fasting. Staying up late to study God's word. Watching your conduct that you don't mislead other people. That basic Christian life. Give your heart to it. For I told you last time, repeating again. If you are from another nation, you're not American, like what I mean by that, you know what I mean. You are a missionary in this nation. And you won't miss your purpose. No, you won't. You won't miss your purpose. You won't lose your identity. You won't mislead people. You won't lose your purpose. There's a sense of urgency in this meeting. And I release it to your hearts now. A sense of urgency. Some of us procrastinate, postpone things. I lift that thing off your life. And I say you start to treat things urgently. I have to pray now. I have to study now. I have to hear from God now. I have to preach now. Yes, I have to fast tomorrow. And you won't postpone it like before. That sense of urgency is back in your heart. I have to get to church now. I have to see that disciple now. And I have to do it now. That sense of urgency is back in your heart. For the mission is possible. It's possible. For the mission is possible. It's possible. It's burning in your heart. Burning in your heart. And I say this. There are doors opening for you in the natural. In career, in academics, in business. And those doors are for a purpose. Don't misuse them. Use them wise. Use them well.